Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Nuntes, and we are six lines from the top of daf Nuntes Amud Aleph, moving along in rather complicated sugyas, the halachas of Yayin Nesach, specifically Yayin that a goy touched. So, we've mentioned many times that when you talk about Yayin Shalev Dekechavim, there's really three subcategories. Category A is wine that a goy physically poured Avodah Zarah. Category B is Stam Yenam Shal Oivdei Kechavim. Just like the Chachamim were Goyzer on Pas of an Oivdei Kechavim, Shemen of an Oivdei Kechavim, Cholav of an Oivdei Kechavim, Bishol Akum, Yayin of a Goy is Asur as well. And then finally, category C, which is Yayin, even if it belongs to a Yid. It doesn't matter who produced it, it doesn't matter who owns it. But if a Goy comes in contact with it, the halach is that that wine is going to be Asur as well. Yayin was mentioned in the first Mishnah of the three Mishnayos that's discussed, Dvarim Shaloyv Dekechavim that are Asur. What the first Mishnah had in common was they were Asurim, V'Yisurim, Isra'na. And as a result, all three categories of Yayin, whether it's real Yayin Esach, Stam Yayinam, and even Yayin, Shenoga Ba'Oyv Dekechavim, the Halach is Asur B'Shtia, and Asur Bahana as well. The reason some of these Gemaras are complicated is, number one, it's about five block Gemara that's really one Sugya. In Yeshiva, when they learn these Dafin, so they learn Gemara Rashi, from Nunhei Amud Beis really till Daf Samach, pretty much till the end of the parak, and then they go back to start learning the Tosfosim because it's very difficult to even start with the Tosfosim and to start making sense of some of the cases and the Tziyurim and the Gemaras without seeing everything. So if you're confused, you know, we're all in good company. But the reality is that there are a lot of variables and a lot of permutations that you need to be mindful of when you go through this Gemara. Number one, a guy touched the wine. How did he touch it? Did he just touch it? Was he meshachshech it, meaning he mixed it a little bit? He actually poured it. Did he do it bekavana or did he do it shalei bekavana? It's mevur in the Gemaras that although yayin generally is aser b'shtia and aser b'hana, thus it's in the Mishnah Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, but there were a lot of examples where there's going to be only an iser shtia, there's not going to be an iser hana. Why did the Chachamim say that when a guy touches wine, the wine becomes aser? Is it because they're concerned that maybe the guy was menasachet? Or maybe it's related to the Ikur Takana of Stam Yenam, which is Mavur and Lamed Vav Amud Beis, which Tosfos explained very nicely in Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, which we spoke at in the Daf. It's related not to Achshash Yayin Esach, but rather it's Mishum Chasnos. It's for the same reason Chavim Asir other Macholim Shal Oivdei Kechavim. And maybe there would Chapa Nafkemina. Maybe would there be a difference if a guy touched the wine in a way where there's a concern that he was Menasachet versus if a guy touched the wine and we're not concerned that maybe he was Menasachet? Those are just some of the permutations and some of the different factors that need to be considered when you go through this sugya thoroughly. Either way, we do what we do. So the Gemara picks up today's daf with another Maisa Shahoya Kachoyer. Pchia Barabba Ikhla Gavlo. Pchia Barabba was once in Gavlo. Chaz B'nai Yisrael, de Ma'abrun, Me Oivdei Koychavim, Shemalu, Veloy Tavlu. He saw that a lot of the Jewish girls in Gavlo were marrying Oivdei Kechavim. Now, they understood you're not allowed to marry a guy, but they would give the guy a geirus, but a controversial geirus. So there was Mila, and there was no tefila. Additionally, Chazah Chamra, Demazgu, Oivdei Kechavim, Vishasta Yisrael. They saw that Jews would hire Oivdei Kechavim to dilute their wine. Diluting wine was something that was very, very common back in the day, and as a result, people would hire employees, they would have staff, and one of the things they would want the kitchen staff to do is, you know, check, make sure you diluted the wine. And they had goyim, non-Jewish workers that were diluting the wine, the Jews were drinking it as if it was okay. And finally, another thing he saw that caught his attention was chazat termusa, that certain type of food, the shalk lev kechavim, that the goyim would cook, v'achli Yisrael, and the yidden would eat it, v'lo yamalu v'lo midi. He didn't say anything. Also, the kamid Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Chiya Rabbah comes to Rabbi Yechon, and he presented Rabbi Yechon with these three things that he saw. He says, listen, they caught my attention. They seemed like maybe something was going on, but at the same time, I wasn't comfortable, I wasn't sure, I wasn't Moicha. Rabbi Yochanan, what do you think about these three things? So Rabbi Yochanan told him, Tzei v'hachreis, I want you to go back, and I want you to make the following proclamation. Number one, you should say, Al b'neim shem mamzer. Being that these b'nei Yisrael are marrying goyim that have begun the geirus process, but haven't completed the geirus process, there was mila, there was no tefillah, any child that they have is going to be a mamzer. Additionally, you should let them know that their wine is yayin nesach, v'yayin mishum yayin nesach, because being that goyim are being memazeg the yayin, diluting wine, is on some level negia. It's as if they touched it. As a result, they're drinking yayin nesach. And they should know as well that the turmusin, that the goyim are cooking, is going to be bishul akum. And the reason I want you to tell them that is mishum she'enam bnei tar. Meaning it's not really bishul akum, but being that the ameyaret, so just tell them it's bishul akum. It's much better this way. So Rabbi Yechon told them, I just want you to go back and tell them, aside for these three things, your children are mamzerim. The wine that you drink is yayin esach. You eat bishalakim. Otherwise, it's a wonderful community, and give them bruches. But those three things, you definitely have to point on. Now, the Gemara says that what's pshat in Rabbi Yechon? Why did Rabbi Yechon feel so strongly about these three things? So the Gemara says very gishmak. Al bnei shem mamzerim. Rabbi Yechon felt that their children are mamzerim. So Rabbi Yechon tameitz. Rabbi Yechon lishitase. And it's really made up of two members that Rabbi Yechon said. Dam Rabbi Yechon lo ilamina gerachi imo v'tivo. Rabbi Yechon shita is that Geirus requires milah v'tevilah. It's really a sugya rucha in Masechtas Yevamos, in Perek Acheilus, where the Gemara discusses different shitas exactly how a ger becomes a ger. We take for granted, we know it's milah and tevilah. That's because that's the halacha. But really, on the tanaim level, it's a big machlekes tanaim. But Rabbi Yechon was on upaskin that lo ilam ena ger achi milah v'tevilah v'kivat leitav alevi kechavim. So according to Rabbi Yechon, these Bnei Yisrael were marrying goyim because they had milah and they had no tefillah. So once we establish that these goyim are goyim, despite the fact that they have begun the geirus process, so now, says the Gemara, we can invoke another member of Rabbi Yechon, who said, Rabbi Yechon's shita is that if a Jewish woman has a child with a non-Jewish man, the child is going to be a mamzer. So that's Rabbi Yechon's shita. So Rabbi Yechon holds that number one, geirus is milah and tefillah. Number two, a goy and a bas yisrael that have a child, the child is going to be a mamzer. What was going on in Gavlu? What was the first thing that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba reported to Rabbi Yochanan? Chaza he saw b'nais yisrael, demi abrim, they were becoming pregnant. May oved kechavim shemaldu v'lo itavlu. So you combine the two sheets. Rabbi Yochanan, it's Rabbi Yochanan l'tameh. Rabbi Yochanan told him, tzei v'hachres, go and be machres to them and let them know, al b'neim shehein mamzer. The second thing Rabbi Yochanan told him was, v'al yena mishum yayin esach. Now what were they doing? They weren't really touching the wine. The goyim would just diluting the wine. They were pouring water into the cask of wine and they were making it drinkable. Why is that yayin esach? Says the Gemara, b'shum leich leich amrin nezira schar schar lekam le'sikr. We had that in yesterday's daf, that even though really mi'ikr hadin, it shouldn't be yayin esach, because just diluting wine and causing shichshuch in the yayin al yidei you pouring water into it, really that shouldn't be constituted as maga. Stating that there are certain harchakis that the chachamim made in the halachas of yayin esach. We learn it from Nazir, just like we tell the Nazir, don't even go in a vineyard. Nazir's allowed to walk in a vineyard. Nazir's just not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to eat grapes. But in terms of walking in a vineyard, that's something that's okay. But based on we apply the principle of leich leich amr nazir schar schar lekam leisikrav, that's why that was awesome. And finally, afturmas and mishum mishul lechachamim vishayin b'nei tayr. So Rabbi Yechanan said that let them know the turmas and that the goyim were cooking. Tell them they can't eat it. But then Rabbi Yechonah told Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi, I'm only telling you to tell them that because they're not B'nai Torah. Sok the Gemara, time of day B'nai Torah. Oh, B'nai Torah, sure. It sounds like Rabbi Yechonah held that really it's going to be okay. Why should it be okay? Bishul Akim is awesome. Everybody knows that. And V'omer Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Omer Rav, Kol Shenechal Kemoshe Hu Chai, Ein Boi Mishum Bishul Yev Dikachav. The only exception, this is the Gemara's Kasha, to the Isser of Bishul Akim is food that's nechal kemoshe hu chai. So if this is something that you would eat raw, for example, water, everybody drinks water raw, right? You don't have to cook water in order to drink it. People will pour themselves a glass of water, even if it wasn't cooked. For that reason, if a guy cooks it, there's no bishul akum, because it's something that's nechal kemoshe hu chai. But the only time you have the halacha that something is ein boi mishum bishul yev dikachavim is if it's nechal kemoshe hu chai. Meaning, if it's not nechal kemoshe hu chai, there is bishul akum. Turmesin was not nechal kemoshe hu chai. You had to be there, but apparently nobody ate turmesin raw. So if nobody ate turmesin raw, so l'chura it should be bishul akum. If it's bishul akum, so frek to Gemara, why did Rabbi Yechonan say that the reason it's bishul akum to them is because they're not Bnei Torah, and I don't want to start issuing kulas to them because they're going to take this kula and they're going to apply it inappropriately, they're going to run with it. It's not a good idea. L'chura, it's bishul akum because it's bishul akum. The only way it cannot be bishul akum would be if it's nechel kemoshu chai, and this is not nechel kemoshu chai. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ki hach lishna sfir leit. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Omer Rav, Rabbi Yochanan held of a different kula, that kol she'ene oil l'shulchan, shal melachim, l'lafis be'es apas, ein bay mishum mishul le'yav dike chavim. The halach is that anything that's not oil l'shulchan melachim, anything that's not choshev food, some have the girsa, it's choshev and it's used l'lafis be'es apas, it's used as a dip. But regardless, the point is, there's an idea that was said in the name of Rav, no less, that the only time there's an Issa Bishalakum is if the food is chashev. It's something that's oila al shulchan malachim. We spoke out, that's why candy, for example, you could eat even though it goes through some process that maybe constitutes bishal, but that's a classic example of something that's not oila al shulchan malachim, and as a result, there's no problem bishalakum. But either way, Rabbi Yochanan held of that halacha, being that turmison was not oila al shulchan malachim, so there's really no bishalakum. It's time of the Eina B'nei Torah, B'nei Torah Shari. That's why Rabbi Yochanan held that really there was no bishalakum. Why then did he tell them not to eat it? Because in Gavlo they weren't Bnei Torah. I mean, they were marrying Goyim. They clearly weren't Bnei Torah. So being that they weren't Bnei Torah, he felt that I don't even want to let them know. They shouldn't think that Tormesin is okay, because it's true, what they're doing with Tormesin is not usher. But if the Goyim are going to be cooking their Tormesin, the next thing you know, they're going to be grilling their steaks, and that's already, then you're going to have big problems. So the Gemara over here mentioned two kulas as it relates to Bishalakum. Number one, Kol Shenecha Kamei Shuchai. Number two, Kol she'ena oila al shulchan malachim l'lafis be'asapas. The Gemara brings it as two lishnas. That's the way it was brought earlier when the Gemara brought it on daf lamed zayin and aleph. But we know Tosis says over there that halacha is like both of these kulas. That's why halacha l'maitz and shulchan aruch. If you have any one of these mitzias, that's enough that there shouldn't be an iser of bishalakim. So something that's nechal k'moshe uchai, the halacha is, even if it's oila al shulchan malachim, there's no bishalakum. Number two, if something is not nechel k'mo shulchai, but it's ein oila al shulchan malachim, that too is enough that there shouldn't be bishalakum. And it has to be something that's not nechel k'mo shulchai. It also has to be something that is oila al shulchan malachim. If you can check off both of those boxes, then there's an iser bishalakum. But if you can only check off one, meaning it doesn't meet both criteria, then the halacha is, there's not going to be bishalakum. Zok de gemara, bo minei miraf kahana, b'kchavim ha'ush. Could a guy work in a vineyard? Can a guy take an oven, grapes, and can he carry those grapes to the gas, to the wine press? At first glance, what should be the problem? The whole Isser Yayin, even the most from Machmer, is going to tell you, it has to be wine. Okay, he looked at the wine while it was in a bottle. I hear, maybe. But enough, we're dealing with grapes now. L'chura, on the grape level, there's absolutely no issue. A guy can touch your grapes. You can buy grapes in a local supermarket, even though the guy is handling the grapes. That's zicha not going to be awesome. But they asked Rav Kahana this shayla, could a guy work in a gas? Could he work in a wine press? So here already, there is wine in the wine press, so there's mokum to think that maybe the Chachamim would be machmer and say that this should be an issue. Amar lo, that's exactly what he told him. He said, Aser. Why? Mishum lech, lech, amrin, nazira, tzchor, tzchor, lekamalei sikha, the same idea, just like we tell the nazir, don't go into a vineyard. We tell the shegets, don't go into the vineyard either. Don't hire a guy in your wine press. Is Rav Yemel, Rav Kahana? So Rav Yemel asked Akasha, he said, is that really true, Rav Kahana? Is that the right psak? I'll ask you Akasha from Beraisa, Oyveit, Klechavim, Shehevi, Anovim, a guy that was working in a wine press and he was carrying grapes. He brought it to a wine press in salin or dardurim, different types of barrels. Even if wine, juices start oozing out of the grapes as he's carrying them, mutter, there's no problem of yayin esach over here because he didn't even make it to the gas. We had the Mishnah on the Flamin Hay that discussed at what point in the wine producing process, if a guy comes in contact with the juices, do we say, is it the gas? Is it the bar? What about if it's on the shoot? And Rafuna and the Mishnah Rishayna and the Mishnah Achrayna. So we had a whole discussion, two block Gemara that got into it. But over here, nothing happened yet. He's carrying it, he's transporting it to the gas. At that point, there's definitely not going to be an issue. So what do you see from here? It's okay. So the Gemara says, Eisvei, Rav Yemel, Rav Kahana, how could you tell me that it's Osir? Why? Because Lech, Lech, Amenazil, Schor, Schor, Lekamad, Lesikra, Lechura, it's a Mefurish, a Braisa, that it's Mutter. Amalei, what are you saying, this Braisa? Hevi, Ka, Amrit. The Braisa says Mutter, meaning, if a Goy did it, he came in contact with the wine. Is it okay to drink the wine or not? Yes, of course it's okay to drink the wine. Don't throw the wine out. By the way, sometimes it could be bal tashchis, right? This could be a double-edged sword. People, sometimes you want to be machmer and you say, yo, you have the bottle of wine, it's absolutely awesome. You pour a $100 bottle of wine, you know, down a drain. There's an invoice that comes along with that decision as well. Maybe you're not allowed to do that. You can't just, you know, lose a good bottle of wine. But either way, So l'katchila, the shayla that was asked to Rav Kahana was, so he told him, no, he shouldn't. Why? Lech, lech, I'm in a zero. But at the same time, if he did it, that's another story. Avadit's going to be mutter. Ahu esuroigo, denofa lechavisa decham. Another story. So a lot of stories in these Gemaras. There was an esrig. We had the lulav the other day. Now we have the esrig. So an esrig fell into a chavis. It fell into a barrel of wine. Itri oivik echavis v'shakle. So the guy jumps.
in the direction of the barrel. He quickly sticks his hand in to rip out the esrik. The problem is, he touched the wine. So now his hand is in the wine. The mashkiach sees this, and he runs to the guy. He says, don't move. Just freeze. Don't move. So the Gemara says, I'm the Rav Ashi, Naktuli Yade. Hold his hand. What we're worried about is, we're worried that he's going to, as he pulls his hand out, he's going to mix the wine. Shichshuch is nisuch. And he's going to be menasek. Now, you already touched the wine. That happened already. But what we don't want him to do is, we don't want him to be meshachshich the wine. Because even though touching the wine in and of itself already created problems, but if he's meshachshich, it's going to be even more problematic. So at this point, the wine, l'chura, was already aser b'shtia. Because he touched it, shalai b'kavana. So based on, you know, the sugis that we didn't get into, at this point, really, the halach is, it's going to be aser b'shtia, but it's still going to be mutabana. If he's going to be meshachshich now it's going to be aser. So we have to find a way to get this guy's hand out of the barrel, or get the wine out of the barrel, without the guy ever being meshachshich the wine. So Rav Ashi said, grab onto the guy's hand, and then pick up the chavis, start pouring wine out of the chavis, which we saw in yesterday's daf, if you remember, that pouring wine out of a cask is considered koichai. It's considered koichai, and koichai shaloi bekavana like gazer beirbon. All right, koichai is a little bit more kulodik. But the point is, let the yid now go, and let the yid pour out. You don't even need the guy to do it. Let the yid pour the wine out of the barrel until it goes beneath the level of where the guy's hand is. And as a result, you're not going to have an issue. So basically, if the guy would have just pulled his hand out, then you would have had a bigger problem that we already had. Because at this point, the guy just touched it. Shaloi bekavana, it's also b'shtiyah. But it's not going to be asabana. Once the guy is meshachshech it, even if he does it without the kavana to be menasech, or maybe we're concerned that while he will be meshachshech it, he will have kavana to be menasech. But the point is, the rega, he's meshachshech, now everything becomes a little bit trickier. The bottom line is, that was what they told him to do. Amar Rav Ashi, hayo, if you come to the Nasir, come to Yisrael, bekavana, a guy that goes, and he's menasech a yid's wine, bekavana, he does it, bekavana, l'shem avodah zarah. So this is a guy that wants to get at a yid. So he goes over to the yid's wine, he takes his wine, and he's menasech it l'avodah zarah. So the chura, this is a big problem. This is nisuch Yayin Nesach 101. And if it's Yayin Nesach 101, l'chura, there's no way in the world you should be able to drink it. Says the Gemara, even though it's true, the yid's not allowed to drink. And not only can't the yid drink it, he can't even sell it. He can't even sell it to a guy. Because Yayin Nesach is also banah. But at the same time, Shari Leila Mishkol Demei Ma'ahu Avikachavim. He's allowed to be Toiveya, the guy that was Menasech, it, to pay him. My time, l'chura, isn't he having hana from this wine? If he's getting mad payment from the guy. So the Gemara says, a very nice svara, mikla kalya. No, he's not selling it to the guy. That's not what he's doing. What he's doing is, he's telling the guy, you were mazik my wine, I want you to pay me for the wine that you were mazik. So he has a right to go and demand payment from the guy, even though he's getting money for Yaya Nesach, which looks a little bit like he's having hana from something that's Yisrael hana. It's not a problem. The reason it's not a problem is because the gather of the money that he's getting is not hana for his yayin. He's just demanding payment for the hezek that took place. So demay hezek is something he's allowed to do. Now, by the way, if someone is menasek somebody else's wine, lavoy de zara, is that so poshut that he's a mazik? It's a sugi arucha mesechtes gittin. It's what's called hezek sheni nikker. And it's all sugi and chas. Hezek sheni nikker shmei hezek, or hezek sheni nikker loy shmei hezek. And the pashtus is that even the mandama that holds hezek sheni nikker shmei hezek, it's only midi rabbanan. That's what most rishonim hold. Midi raisa hezek sheni nikker loy shmei hezek. L'may nafkimina, for example, adam ur la'olam. So there's halacha that if an adam is mazik, Bein Shoigig, Bein Mezid, Bein Oynes, Bein Rotzen, the halacha is he's always going to be chay. But Hezek Sheni Nikr, being that it's only Shem Mazik Midrabana, not Midei Raisa, it could be it's going to be a little bit different. So again, when you talk about Hezek of Yayin Esach, so it's really a shayla of Hezek Sheni Nikr, but the bottom line is that there definitely is a Tzad Mazik. There's a Mandama that holds Hezek Sheni Nikr, Shmei Hezek. The bottom line is, so the Gemara says that even though you're technically taking money for Yayin Esach, being that you're demanding Mei Hezek, it's not going to be Amr Rav Ashi, not Midrabana. Why do I say this? Tanya, we learned to the Brisa. If a guy is Menasech, a Yid's wine, for Avodah Zarah, but he does it shaloi b'fnei Avodah Zkechavim. So the halach is aser. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira matira. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, they both said it's mutter. So Goy was menasech a yid's wine, and it happened shaloi b'fnei avodas kechavim. That's all we know about what took place over here. So the Chum say, the Tanakama says aser, and there were two Tanam that said mutter. Why? Why did they say mutter? So Gemara said mishum shnei dvarim. Echad, one reason was she'im menasech yayin el b'fnei avodas kechavim, because they felt that real nisuch for avodas zara only happened b'fnei avodas kechavim. And being that this happened shaloi b'fnei avodas kechavim, so it's dafka for that reason. And it's going to be mutter. The echad, another reason, because they hold that being that ein adam oisa davar she'ein shaloi, so you can't make somebody else's item into avodah zara. It's for that reason you can't be menasich somebody else's yayin and make it yayin esach. So two reasons why a guy can't go over to a yid's wine and pour it and it's suddenly going to be avodah zara. Now if it happened b'fnei avodah zara, that's one thing. But shaloi b'fnei avodah zara, there's two svaras. Number one, the metzias was that goyim weren't really menasech yayin l'avodah zara. Number two, there's a svara of ein adam oisa davar she'ein shaloi. So Zok Ravashi, that even though we paskin like the chachamim, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. But hamia, if a goy would be menasech a yid's wine l'avodah zara, the yid would be able to demand payment from that goy. That's at least something he'd be able to do. There's a svara to say you should be able to do it. What's the svara? He's demanding dmei hezek, and even though ordinarily you could hear a svara why maybe that shouldn't be okay, but when you mitstarif the fact that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira both matter anyways mishum shnei dvarim, they never had an issue with this case. So be mitstarif those two tanoim with the fact that over here you're taking the money directly from the guy, so it's here for these things. That's what the Gemara says. This halacha is going to be okay. Either way, just to speak out a little bit of raid as it relates to this sugya, so I was thinking to mention two kashas, both related to Purim. So we're still in Chodesh Adar, and you know, unbeknownst to many, but Mishnichnas Adar Marbel Simcha doesn't end Shushan Purim. It actually goes through the end of Chodesh Adar. So we're still in the, we still have the Oiris of Adar and the Oiris of Mishnichnas Adar. So just two Oiris.
Actually, Chaptes and Adar and Pesach.
Right. Okay.
Purim Pesach.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, really? Till Nissan also? Okay, fine. Keep that in mind. Straight through Bein Azmanim. I mean, all right, so just two Aharis as it relates to Purim. So, number one, so we had an Amud Aleph that the Gemara mentioned that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was Ikla Legavla, and he saw three things. He reported the three things back to Rabbi Yechon. The first thing he saw was that the Bnei Yisrael were marrying Ovdei Kechavim. No, not full-fledged guy. They would never do that. But these were Ovdei Kechavim that had a controversial Geiris. So nothing's changed. There was Mila, there was no Tfila, and there was some controversy. It is a Geiris, it's not a Geiris. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba comes to Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon Letameh. Rabbi Yechon is the one that holds that a person is not a Ger, Atche, Yimal, Veyitpal. So as a result, Rabbi Yechon said, go tell them that their children are mamzer. And the Gemara says, why mamzer? That's also Rabbi Yechon Letameh. Because Rabbi Yechon holds that Eved Vekuti Abba Abbas Yisrael, what's the halacha? Havlad mamzer. So as a result, the child is going to be a mamzer. Now the emes is that we know that if a guy has a child with a Jewish woman, the child is not a mamzer. Child is a yid. And really, it's based on the fact that there's a big machloikis in Shas. Oivet koichavim vikuti, haba bas Yisrael. Havlad kosher or havlad posel? Rabbi Yochanan holds, that's Rabbi Yochanan Letameh, that havlad posel. And the definition of havlad posel means the child is a mamzer. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan paskin, go tell the Yidden and Gavla that their children are mamzer. But we don't paskin Rabbi Yochanan. We paskin eved kechavim v'kuti habal bas Yisrael havlad kosher. And that's why, lemaisa, if a Jewish woman has a child with a non-Jewish husband, the child is going to be kosher. What's interesting, though, is that really, there's a machlekes rishon in what the definition of a vlad kosher means. Meaning, you ask the man on the street, he's going to tell you, vlad kosher means a vlad kosher. Fashteitzach, well, what else does it mean? It's not kosher at all. There's a machlekes rashi in Tosfos and Kedushin Ayin Hei. The sugi is also in Yevamos, Taf Mem Hei, and Perek HaCholetz. And there's a long marsha that's on a long Tosfos on the top of, really on the bottom as well, of Ayin Heyam Ebeza Masechtas Kedushin, where the Marsha says that from Tosfos I learned that it could be Tosfos had a different understanding of Oivet Kechavim Vekuti Abba Bas Yisrael Avlad Kasher. Avlad Kasher doesn't mean the child is a Yid. The child is a Goy.
Charles Lagoy, how can you call it a Vlad Pasha? What it means is, Le'umas, the man Dama that holds a Vlad Pasha, that the child is a mamzer. A mamzer has no takana. If a child is born a mamzer, he's going to die a mamzer. There's no way to get out of your situation of mamzerus. Tarfin said he had a way to be matayr, all the mamzerim. But the pashtus is, a mamzer is a mamzer. If someone is a goy, he has a way to become a kosher. How? Are you they gives? But Avada don't say, says the Marsha in his beer of Tosfos, that if a goy has a child with a Jewish woman, the child is going to be kosher. No, the child is really going to be posel. The child is going to be a goy. Why then a Vlad Kosher? Vlad Kosher, that it's Shaykh, it's a Tzad Kosher. The Tzad Kosher would be Al Yudei Geirus. But Avada without Geirus, the child is going to be goy. In other words, Machloek is showing what Vlad Kosher mean. Does Vlad Kosher mean a full-fledged Jewish child? Or does Vlad Kosher mean the child is a goy? It could become kosher. It could become kosher Al Yudei Geirus. What's interesting is we, of course, passing a Vlad Kosher. So we're passing like the man number that holds a Vlad Kosher, number one. And number two, like the Pashtus, that Vlad Kosher means that it's a full-fledged Jewish child. Stating that, if you take a look in Eben Ezra Simon Dalet, that's what this halach has brought down in Shulchan Aruch, the Pischei Tshuva has an Arichos, where the Pischei Tshuva says that he's found other Rishonim and Achrayim that discuss, they give merit to this other tzad. One very interesting Maramachim is a Rav Kiva Eger in Hilchas Mila. The context over there is that we know that Mila is Deicha Shabbos, right? Mila is Deicha Shabbos. It's a whole Amid Gemara and Perek Rav Lezer de Mila. The Rav brings four different Makairis, but we know that Mila, even though it involves different Melechah Shabbos, technically it involves Chil Shabbos, but at the same time it's learned out from Sukkim that Mila is Deicha Shabbos. Says Rav Kiva Eger, and I quote, L'chayra, gam ba'ovid keichavim shahoylud mi'yisraelis, molen oisa b'shabbos. L'chur, if you'd ask me, says Rav Kiva Eger, if a Yiddish mama has a child with a shegetz, that child was born on Shabbos, and now the meal of his mama is going to be on Shabbos as well. The churitz going to be doicha. Why not? Over kechavim v'kuti abal bas yisrael lavlad kosher. But says Reb Kivega ula lamashe kasa marsha kedushin daf ayin heil midbeis v'tois v'sham. The sfira leib over kechavim shabal bas yisrael davlad over kechavim. That really the child is a guy. V'tzorach gerus imkain ein molenoise v'shabbos. Says Reb Kivega, based on that, you wouldn't do the meal of Shabbos. V'ayin b'sefer atzei arosin even as a simon dalitz. That's what all these things are discussed. So amazingly, Reb Kivager, if you want to see it inside, it's in Hilchas Mila, Simen Reish, Samech Vav, Sivkot Nyud Beis. So Reb Kivager, at the end of Hilchas Mila, says a Gevaldige Chiddush, he gives merit to this Shita, and he quotes the Marsha. It's interesting. So it says Reb Kivager that based on that Marsha, that long Marsha, that long Toisvist, that takes up Kamat, the whole Ayin Heim, the base of Masechus Kedushin, that we have this San Mechudeshes and what Vlad Kosher means, really the child is a guy. So you can't do Mila B'Shabbos for a Yid, Avada Mila's Deicha Shabbos. But for a guy, this child needs a tefillah still. There's a whole Geirus process. Geirus is not Deicha Shabbos. So if Geirus is not Deicha Shabbos, it's Pasha, it says Reb Kiva Eger, Halacha L'Maisa, it's not so simple that you'd actually be able to do the Mila on Shabbos. Stating that, here's the Ha'ara. The Gemara, in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, onto Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, discusses Daryovish. So Daryovish was also Koiresh, and he was the Persian king that gave the Yidden permission to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And there's a discussion in the Gemara. Was Daryovish Melech Kosher? Or was he not a Melech Kosher? The Gemara brings a Praisa that says the reason he was called Koiresh is because he was a Melech Kosher. But the Gemara says that maybe he wasn't a Melech Kosher. So how do you reconcile it? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, like Kasha. Not everything is black and white. Kan Koidim Shehechmetz, Kan Lacha Shehechmetz. There were tkufas, he had good days and he had bad days. There was a time where he was a Melech Kosher. But then he was Hechmetz. And at that point already he wasn't a Melech Kosher. So the Gemara goes into somewhat detail of the tkufa, when exactly it was that Daryovish was Hichmet. Says the Gemara, me Hichmet, could you say that Koiresh really went bad? But at the end of his life, Koiresh gives the Yidden permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he gave them money, he financed the Karbonos and everything. So how in the world could you tell me that this Daryovish was Hichmet? That's the Gemara's Kasha. But you see from the Psukim that he gave so much money to the Beis HaMikdash and he was so proud of what he did, and that means that he must have been very, very chashev. As I fake the Gemara Kasha. But the Gemara says, no, it's not a Kasha. You know why? It's true. He gave a lot of money. He did great deeds, but he did it for himself. He did it for his gaifa. He did it shaloi l'shma. And being that he did it shaloi l'shma, it's for that reason, it's not considered a good deed. So you could say that he was really hichmet. Freik the Gemara, is that true? Man David Hachila Mal Yisehi? If somebody does a mitzvah, he gives tzedakah, he gives charity, he literally financed the Beis HaMikdash, but he does it shaloi l'shma. He does it for covet. That's it. It's not a good thing. Vatanya, everybody knows the price. If somebody says, I'm giving tzedakah, but I'm doing it, so that I should merit a portion of the world to come. So he's a tzaddik gomer. Why are you telling me that Yavesh was hichmetz? Because even though he gave all this money to the Beis HaMikdash, but at the same time, he did it for his egen kavanas, who cares? You could do it b'shul sheyichye b'ni. You could do it b'shul sheeskev al-chayu ilam abba. And you're a tzaddik gomer. So the gemara like kasha. Can be Yisrael, can be evdei kechavim. A yid that does a mitzvah shaloi l'shma, it's still considered a good deed. A goy that does a mitzvah shaloi l'shma is not considered a good deed. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is Daryovish was a guy. And being that Daryovish was a guy, it's for that reason that what Daryovish did was considered to have not been a good deed. Why not? Because of the fact that he did it shaloi l'shma, and even though there's an idea of a raise tzad the government, that's only by a yid, but at the same time, that's not by a guy. A little bit of history. Who was Daryovish? Daryovish was Esther's son. Esther and Achashverosh had a son. His name was Daryovish. He became the Persian king. He was the one that gave the Yidden permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, right? There's a subplot that's taking place, which is really hashtag rest of the story, in the Purim story. And that is that through the Ness of Purim, the Yidden didn't just avoid disaster back in the day. But really, the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash all came as a result of that. Imagine Esther's son is the king. He's the one calling the shots, that has the executive powers to give the Yidden permission to build the second Beis HaMikdash. He's also very young at the time. So you could imagine that Esther was whispering into her son's hands, into her son's ears, right, while he's making him peanut butter sandwiches. He was really young at the time. You could look it up. That I think this is a good idea. I think we should rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. Esther played a tremendous role. But the bottom line is, who's Daryovish's mother? Esther. Who's his father? Achashverosh. So had Daryovish become a goy? Her Daryovish is a yid. He has a Jewish mother. If a Vlad Pasul, he's a Yid, but he's a Mamz. On the side that Vlad Kosher, so Pashna says he's a Kosher. But we just spoke out, there's a Marsha, a long Marsha, on a long Taisvis, in Kedushin, Ayin Hei Amid Beis, Reb Kiveger brings in Hilchas Mila, Yerideya Simen, Reish Samachvav, that the Pischei Tshuva in Ebenezer Simon Dalit has a whole arichus of Rishonim and Achronim that already reference such a tzad, that Ovekechavim Vekutia Abba Bas Yisrael, it's not a Vlad Kosher that the child is a full-fledged Yid. The child is really a guy. It just needs Geirus. This Gemara, Volk Gevein, Arizig and Makar to that Shiloh. By the way, the Gemara continues and the Gemara says, now you know Daryovish was bad. Now you know he was Hichmitz, because the Gemara says that he was Boil his Kelev. If it was Boil his Kelev, then obviously that's a very bad thing. Says Rashi, how do you know it's bad? Because Ubnei Noyach Huzaru Arkach. Shenema v'hoyu l'basarecha yatsu v'heima v'chaya v'oif. She'ein nasim basarecha she'ein yodim and others. Bnei Noyach Huzaru Arkach? What do you mean Bnei Noyach? He was a Yid. He was up to do Bnei Noyach Huzaru Arkach. Again, because Rashi was learning the Gemara. And Rashi saw in the Gemara. The Gemara said, like Kasha, can be Yisrael, can be Oivdei Kechavim. I have Vlad Kosher. So if you hold that a Vlad Kosher means Goy, he fought this Geirus, maybe Daryovish never had Geirus. I don't know why Daryovish wouldn't have had Geirus. Why would Esther have not been Begar Daryovish? But Luchura, if you hold Vlad Kosher, then it's a Fester Kasha. Now why is he a guy? Luchura is a Yid. That's the first Ha'ara with a little bit of a Purim thing. The second is, we're learning the sugyas over here of Yayin Nesech. There's a Gemara in Mesechtis Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says like this. We know the pasuk. Vayomer Haman LaMelech Achashverosh. Yeshno Yam Echad Mefuzar Umefoyre Deino Amid Bechol Medina Is Malchusecha. Vidaseim Shoyno Is Mikolam Vestasi Amelech Ein Amoisim VeLaMelech Ein Shoy VeLaHanicham. Amar Rava Lekad Yada Lishna Bishak Haman. There was nobody who knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman. Amalei, let's go through this pasuk. Says Haman. Says Rava, and you're going to see what Haman was really telling Achashverosh. Tanoi Chlino. Comes to Achashverosh, says, I was thinking, let's get rid of the Jews. Amalei. So Achashverosh's immediate reaction was, Mistafinim Elikov, L'davi B'kadavli Kamoi. Says, I'm a student of history, and I know that if you start up with the Jews, it usually doesn't end well. There's no way I'm going to take on the Jewish people. Amalei. So he told him, Yeshnoi. What does Yeshnoi mean? Miloshen Yoshnu min ha-mitzvos. They're not keeping mitzvahs. If they were doing mitzvahs, then you're right. I would recommend you stay away from them. But they're not doing mitzvahs. I mean that they're not doing mitzvahs, they're vulnerable. You can start up with them. Amalei, so he told him, Ispur Rabbanon. I hear maybe the Hamoy Naam, but there must be some Chashev Rabbanim.
Amalesi told him, no. Yeshnoi Amechad. Amechad, hey. They're all one nation. Meaning, just like the Hamoin Am aren't keeping the mitzvahs, Rabbanan aren't keeping the mitzvahs either. Shema, Taimer, Salman continued. You're going to say, Karchani Yitzhak Malchusacha. You know, I'm going to create a karcha. I'm going to wipe out a certain part of your nation. No. Then befuzar beino amin. Befuzarim heim beino amin. Shema, Taimer, Isnu Hana beino. You're going to tell me you have Hana from them? They're mefeirot. What does mefeirot mean? Kepreidus, like a mule. Sheino isa peiris. They're not productive. They're not contributing at all. V'sheva time ikim adinta minayu. Do they all live in one medina? So maybe it's not smart. Talmud loyim. No, they become medina is malchisecha. And then Haman continued. He said v'daseim sheino is michalam. Says you realize their customs, their culture is very different than ours. Number one, the loy achli minon. They don't eat our food. V'loy nasfi minon. They don't marry our daughters. They don't let us marry their daughters. They don't keep the Dasi HaMelech. They never work. Why? They say Shabbos Hayayim, Pesach Hayayim. And then finally, the punchline, he told them, when they eat and drink, they're mevazeh the Malchus. Why? Because if you see a year drinking wine, if a zvov, a fly, would fall into the guy's glass of wine, what would he do? Zark, if he say, I'll take the fly, I'll throw it and I'll drink the wine. But the Madoni HaMelech Negei B'Kaisai, he says, but if you, Achashverus, will touch their Kais Yayin, Choyftoi B'Karka V'Enu Shesei, is going to pour the wine out, a fly can go in, he'll take the fly out, no problem. But if you, Adoni HaMelech, touch the Kais, that's going to be a problem. What's the makar to that? The sugis that we're learning right now. This is Yayin Nesech. If a guy touches a Yid's wine, that lach is a problem. Haman knew that, and that was what he used to instigate Achashverosh. Unbelievable. So that was his punchline and his rant to the Melech Achashverosh, where he gets Achashverosh to sign off on this idea that we're going to, final solution, we're going to wipe out the Jews. It was this, the fact that they're Ochlu Veshasu Umevazalei L'Malchus. How they Mevazalei L'Malchus? Because if a goy, Adoni HaMelech, would touch their glass of wine, that would make the wine undrinkable, it would be off limits. L'chura, it's a power. Why is it a power? Because it's true. Haman was right. The halacha is true. But in Haman's times, was that halacha really true? Was that halacha true in Haman's times? L'chura not. The Ikur Isser Yayin, l'chura, is related to chasnos. When we spoke out this Tosfos, there's something called real Yayin Esach. If a goy is menasach Yayin l'avodah, that's no different than if you throw a Evan l'Markulis, or if you're Poyer l'Poyer, or if you bring a carbon to any avodah zarah. That, of course, is Asabana. That's not questionable. But as it relates to Stam Yena, and as it relates to wine that a goy touches, l'chura, that's mitakonas tamid esham v'hil. Now, if it's mitakonas tamid esham v'hil, it was from the Yud Ches Dvarim, esham v'hil lived a long time after Haman. So how did Haman know about this? Had in Haman's times, there was no Yud Ches Dvarim in Haman's time, l'chura, what he was telling him was, there's an idea of Stam Yena. There's an idea of Mago Evek Echavim. So if there's an idea of Mago, then l'chura, what's going on over here? Unless you're going to tell me that it's true, Stam Yena, that's related to tamid esham v'hil. But as relates to wine of a Yid that a goy touches, it could be that wasn't mitalmid shami the hill. That's really related to a chash that maybe the goy was menasech yayin l'avodah zarah. I mean that the concept of yayin nesech was nogay in the times of Haman. That's a din d'oraisa. That's biblical. So it could be the halach of maga was related to that as well. The problem is not so posh. It's a big machlokes rishonim whether that's true or not. So hot heinach according to rishonim that whole that the idea of maga over kechavim b'yayin shel yisrael. The reason it's also is because of a chash shem and yisech. So it could be that Isidur Rabbanon existed back in the day. Even though we've spoken about the Goyim many times, that most Isurei Dur Rabbanon came about in the beginning of Bayesheni. Okay, maybe this Isidur Rabbanon was true even before Bayesheni. This was true in Haman's times. Makes sense. Yayin Nesach is very Chomer. Shema Nisech, you see how far the Chachamim went in terms of Chomers, even if a guy looks at one. So there's so many Chomers in the Halacha of Yayin Nesach, so it makes sense that you would have this Halacha as well. But according to the Rishonim, it's the Ran and the Sugis over here, and according to the Rishonim, that whole, that the Iker Isser Maga is like Stam Yenam, it's related to Chasnos, it's Mishum B'nai Seyem. So just like he didn't have all the other Yud Ches Dvarim in those days, because the Yud Ches Dvarim is literally Mitamidei Beishamayu Beisilo, so how do you have this Isser as well? Akasha. Leave it at that note.